Thank you, Father. Lord, as we go through our days, that last song that we sang, Lord, just take our lives. Everything that we're meant to be, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we are fulfilling that destiny and that call upon our lives that you've placed upon each one here individually. And that, Lord, we run the race, we stay on the path, whatever we want to look at, Lord, but yet that we fulfill that which you have for us. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that when we do stray and we falter, that you're there to pick us up, you're there to dust us off, you're there to forgive us, Lord, as we repent or ask, Lord, to forgive us. Oh, Father, we truly want to fulfill that you have for us. Amen. Thank you, my Lord. So, as you can tell, the slide up there says what? I am a friend. I am a friend of his. Amen. And he's my friend. But, you know, the most important thing is that he calls me his friend. And if you want to be a friend of somebody, hey, ain't bad to be the friend of Jesus. Amen. We looked at that as we talked about that he's mindful of me. Oh, and that you hear me when I call. Yes, Lord. And is it true, Lord, that you're thinking of me? Oh, he's thinking of you guys, day in and day out. Even when you don't come to church on Sunday, he's thinking of you. Now, your pastor's thinking something else. I mean, well, we won't go there. But I am a friend of God, and he is a friend of mine, and he calls me that friend. And I want to look at that, and that comes out of, if we look at, in John, you can start turning if you want to get to John 15 and just be grasping that there. So what's a friend? Does anybody here have a friend? And some of the things that I looked at, Webster says it this way, it's one attached to another by affection or esteem. Well, I know that I call Jesus my friend. I have affection for him, and I do esteem him highly. How about you? But you know, he looks at us that way, and the affection he has for us, and even for us, he esteems us. We are of value to him. You know, we're not just a blob of whatever walking around this earth. God loves us. Jesus loves us. Cambridge Dictionary puts it this way, a person who you know well and who you like a lot. Now remember, this is coming out of 15:14, where Jesus in the red, he's talking, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now there's a caveat to that, right? He calls us, you are my friends. But if you do whatever I command you, and it behooves us to understand that I am a friend of his, and I've got to listen to him, I've got to obey him, I've got to hear him, I've got to come to that point, I've got to turn off the noise of this world, turn off the noise of this life, so that I can truly hear him. Now, I can look at it, whoever, whatever I command you. Now, I can read in his word, and he commands us there many times. We shared that even in Sunday school and on giving, you know, and tithing and things of that nature. But, you know, he has given us so much in his word to follow in his commands. And but his one command that he left us for sure is to do what? To love one another. And that's a powerful thing. The greatest in all commandments is this, to love one another. And that's so simple, but yet so hard. You know, you're thinking like of all the commands he's given is to say love one another. Oh, well, that sounds like a piece of cake. No, not really. Look at some of the people puts across your path that he's trying it out on you. It's like, ooh, I got to love them. Now, I don't know. I never read in there where he says, you know, that you can't grit your teeth when you say, I love you. Doesn't say not to grit your teeth, so, but you know, love is an important thing in God's totality of what he's looking at us. But anyway, these commands, and it says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer, in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. To know those things of what the Father has said to Jesus, you need to be close to Jesus. Amen? Because he is saying that I have called you friends, for all the things that I've heard from my Father, he is making known to us. So as we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's the line to that of God. And we know the Holy Spirit is now in the mix to lead us into the truths and to guide us and to teach us. Cambridge says this, it's a person who you know well and who you like a lot. Well, I'm beginning to know him well, and I like what I know of him so far. But that was first, he first loved me. He knew me, even in my direst of times and where I was at in this world and serving of the world and my life and the things that took place. But even in that muck and mire, he loved me. Isn't that awesome to know? I have a friend in God. He calls me friend. Oh, Father. I know him and he knows me. But it goes on. Let me finish this definition in the Cambridge. A person who you know well and who you like a lot, but who is usually not a member of your family. That's the Cambridge Dictionary of a friend. Oxford Dictionary says it's a person with whom one has developed a close and an informal relationship of mutual trust and intimacy. A close acquaintance, often with the adjective indicating that this closeness of the relationship as best, good, close, my best friend, my closest friend, my good friend. You are my friends, he says, if you do whatever I command you. Today we need to be doing that, guys. We need to be looking at those words, and especially when they're in the red and Bibles that are in the red letter edition, and they do that so that they really stand out. Now you can even read it in black and white, that's Jesus's words, but in the translations that use those red letters, it sure sticks out a whole lot faster and a lot more evident that when I see red, that's him. A mutual trust and intimacy, a close acquaintance. See, God even loved us and knew us. Remember when we go back before you were formed in your mother's womb? He knew you. He knew you. And he then, through the times of birth, and we come upon this world here, and we're living now our lives here. We're here for a plan and a purpose that God has put you here for. Again, you cannot address it enough to say it is so vitally important for you to figure out or to find out why he's put you here. Now, we can go back at a lot of this in Genesis and talks about to where we were created because he basically wanted people to worship him. He wanted to hear our praises and our worship. We came out of a few weeks back and all about singing. The commands of God has commanded us to sing to him. He's a jealous God. He wants our full affection. He wants our full attention. He doesn't want to share your affection with this world and with him. He wants you to have full consecration upon him and who he is as God, my creator, God, my provider. And then he sends Jesus into this world to bring us back into that loving, reconciling relationship back with him, because why? He loves us so much that he did what? Gave us his only begotten son. There is that love that he had already developed for us before we even had any clue of him. Let that soak in between your ears a little bit. Maybe let that soak into your heart, that God loved us that great. But I like that. It's a relationship, and it's an informal relationship. We love him with respect. I love him. If I come into his presence, I would bow. I would do whatever. It's like, I respect him. But he would just say, you're my friend. You don't have to do all of that. Just come, sit with me here. Come, walk with me. Isn't that awesome? Those times in our thoughts and our meditation with him, we feel and sense in our spirit that we're walking with him, that he's walking with us, and we're talking to him, and he's talking to us. And I look, and you look, and we look around, and we see the beauty of the things of nature, and we see God's hand in this and God's hand in that, and my goodness, and then we see God's beautiful hand in the creation. At one time we were, but as a child, when a baby comes out, that pulls at your heartstrings, doesn't it? Beautiful, formed a baby. And they're in this world and they don't know what's going on. We've had that with our most recent grandson, with that of Clarence. It was so neat the first few days he's here and he's not seen, but his eyes are open and he's probably going like, what? What? Where's my mama? And there's that self-attachment. He knows where mama's at, right? You know, they do that with the skin touch and things like that after the birth of the baby. They usually place it upon the mother's chest and all, and just the skin contact. And there's that bond that was within is now on the outside, and they're still bonding. God is still bonding with us as we walk through this life, as he holds us to his breast. Have you ever felt the love and the comfort of God in times of trials and struggles and difficult times in your life? Maybe at the beginning of that difficult time you didn't, but maybe as time wore on and you were able to collect your senses a little bit and began to sense and pray and receive what God has, that you began to sense like, I'm not in this by myself. That baby comes out, that baby's not in this world by himself. He's got mama, and mama's going to take care of him. And, you know, and even in, as they grow, they still have the same position that I just envisioned when they have a picture of Clarence when he's sleeping on his stomach, but his head's to the side and his butt's up in the air. He's in that, like that, where he would have been in the fetal position like that in the womb. They're just like this. It's just hunkering down and just that closeness. It's awesome. But see, that's when we begin to see the love of God and the beauty of God around us. And so I am so thankful that I am a friend of his. But more importantly, he says, I call you, Tim, my friend. You put your name in there. I call you my friend. A biblical definition says that the Bible describes a friend as someone who is loyal, helpful, and loving, even in difficult times. The Bible also says that a friend should be willing to sacrifice themselves for their friend, and we know that. He hung upon the cross. That's how much he loved us. But likewise, says the Bible says it's a friend who would be willing to sacrifice themselves, but also we go back to before that, helpful and loving even in difficult times. God is there through that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is there back in the times when he's saying this to his disciples and those around him. This is coming out of the true vine is the heading of chapter 15 of my Bible, the true vine. And he talks in the beginning, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And you can go through all that, and we can read that, but how do you stop there? But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Not that he can hurt you, but that he wants you to bear more fruit. And then, I love it, I've got it underlined here really quickly, but abide in me, and I in you. Again, in verse 5, it says, abide in me, and I in him. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out. Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Oh, what a promise we have with a friend of Jesus. Amen? So you can go through all of that. There's a lot to digest in just those things of what Jesus is saying and sharing there. Some characteristics of a friend. of a biblical friend is a loyalty. A friend should remain loyal and helpful during both good and bad times. I will never leave you nor forsake you, God's word says. No matter what you're going through in this life, he's still there with you. Have you felt him? Have you known that? Have you sensed that? If you can get through the muck a lot of times, you will sense that presence. But I know when we're going through the fire at times, it seems like we're there all by ourselves. But it's a loyal friend. It remains loyal, helpful during both good and bad times. Truthful. A friend should speak truth, even when it hurts. Have you heard God speak to you by his word, and what he said to you at first hurt? Because it hurt you, because you knew you weren't following him the way he wanted you to follow him. You were doing something that was not pleasing to him. And so he maybe corrected you with his word, and you went, ouch, that hurt. But then I felt his arms wrapped around me to say, but I love you, Tim. I'm still your friend. And that's what a truthful friend, even on the world, in the world life, this side of heaven will speak. A true friend will tell you, you got something dribbling out of your mouth. You know? Your shirt's undone, or your zipper's not up or something. Now, a true friend will tell you that. Others will just go like that. But a true friend on this earth that you have, they will just be flat out honest with you. But they know you and you know them. And you don't take it wrongly, do you? There's a bond there. And I know this corner over here and where you live and the connections that you ladies have, there are some true bonding friendships over there that they're closer than sometimes to their family and things. And they may understand one another better than sometimes they understand a family member. But that's that bond of friendship. A friend should speak the truth even when it hurts. And my Jesus has done that to me, but it's only because he wants me to be better. God in his word, through that of speaking it, he's not there to scold us to the point of like we used to hear and Pastor Hoblet would say in the beginning in his walk with that of God. It was like he thought God had the biggest fly swatter ever that was made. And he would say he was just waiting for me to get out of line so that he could splat me. But then you get into that time of relationship and you begin to develop and grow with that of Jesus in you, and you begin to really see the love of God's word in his scriptures, that he's there because he loves you and he wants the best for you. And he wants to see you attain the best. Thank you, Lord. What is another characteristic of a biblical friend? Would be this: loving. A friend should demonstrate the kind of love described in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we go to that, but it's like the love chapter. What is? Well, let's go there. By goodness, I see some people wanted to go there. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not what? Love. I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Even though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all this faith so that I could remove mountains, but yet I have not love, I turn out to be nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not that of love, the profit to me is zilch. Now this is paraphrased. It says, profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Puffed up, not arrogant. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks of no evil. Verse 6, it does not rejoice in the iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. This is speaking of love. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. God's word. Love. Now, here again, this brain of mine starts kicking into other things. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Dun, 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 dun. Love. Love will keep us two. Captain, I don't know exactly now how it'd have to all go, but I just, that hit me when I love, and I could hear Tennille, love will, and love does keep us together. Love will keep you together with that of Jesus. And the love that Jesus has for you will keep him together with you. Love will keep us together. And we go through difficult times in our world. We go through difficult times in marriages and relationships, right? But there's hopefully that bond of a love that's there that will hold and kind of work through some very difficult and hard times. Maybe it didn't, and that's the love of this world and the love and how things happen. But I'm just saying that if we look at love and what it is saying, my goodness, it'll do a lot. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there's tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, there's what is the one thing that sustains through all of this? Prophecies may fail. Tongues will fail or cease. Knowledge, it will vanish. In verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And then it goes in, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When you look in the mirror dimly and things of that nature. This is also telling us about, you got to grow up. You got to put away childish things. And that's another story in itself. But I want to look at these things of love. It's sacrificial. A friend should be willing to lay down their life for their friend. We saw that and evidence of that with Jesus. For no greater love has a brother for a friend than to lay down his life. You know, that verse. It's an outwardly focused. A friend should focus on serving others and not themselves. Jesus said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. All of these things that he has done for us as an example that we need to reflect upon, and then we need to take that example, put it into your walk, and say, now let me see it live through me. Let Jesus' love live through me. Let Jesus' compassion live through me. Let my eyes, let my thoughts see as what Jesus would see, even back then, on how he handled those that were not doing the right things. He had, as we know, many times more compassion for sure on the sinner than he did for that of the loyal priest or the leaders of the church or any of those uppity-up people in the religious order. That was when he got upset more than anything. When he raised his voice, it was at those that called themselves what we were teaching and trying to tell people to do. But with the sinner that was out in life and like us in our life, giving our life in and day out, and as we began working through this world, we were all sinners. But Jesus didn't yell at you and scold you. He just says, come, take this yoke upon you. It's easy. It's okay, I will take it, and I will carry it, and I will do this or that for you. And that's because that love that goes back to what he has for us. So anyway, it's an outward focus. We need to work on serving others, and Jesus serves us day in and day out. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. In both Testaments, Old and New, we talk and there's ideas of friends and friendships that involve three components. It's the association, a loyalty, and then affection. So there's three components in these things that we look at. We have to associate. He associates with us, we associate with him. He is loyal to us, he will do what he has said he will do. We have got to be that same way. We have got to be loyal to him. I will serve you, Lord, in whatever I can do. I will dedicate my life to you. I will do. And just because I've dedicated my life to him does not mean that I'm not going to do and enjoy things of this world and enjoy a life here with whatever it is that he has me a part of, but I will always be dedicated to him. And wherever we go, we want to show that example. We want to show that light. So as we become Christians, it's not for us to, and that love that we have from him, and we want to show that to him. It's not that we want to come into our own little cluster of our little nucleus of a group and say, oh boy, we got a lot of love in this building. Well, it's okay that we've got the love in this building, but do you have that love when you go out there where they need to see it out there? In the highways and the byways. And the people that are struggling, the people that are having hardships. Do we scold them to say, well, you need to be better than that? Or do we say, hey, I remember the time when I was dealing and struggling with things like that. What has changed in your life? Well, okay, you've asked. Let me share. And it's not to hit them between the eyes with 25 verses of this or that or all these things in the scriptures. It's to say, here's what transpired in my life. And then you give your little old testimony of whatever version it is, the Reader's Digest version or just a little snapshot. And little by little, that may open up that person. But we go out with that love. It's an outward focus. But anyway, association, the loyalty, and then affection. There's also three levels, meaning friendships as association only, a friendship as an associate plus loyalty, and then friendship as association plus a loyalty plus affection. So it just starts dovetailing together more and more and more about this loyalty and what this is all about and the components that makes this thing up. Remember, it says here, the three levels of meaning, friendship as an association only, a friendship as an association plus loyalty to that, and then friendship as association plus loyalty plus affection, plus, plus, plus. And then we come to the point where it says it equals that of Jesus. You know, we want to be like him. And that's where it brings us into that of John 15:14. The Amplified says this, "You are my friends if you keep doing the things which I have commanded you to do. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing or what his master is working out. But I have called you my friends because I have made it known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him." It's an ongoing process, reciprocating type of a thing. And so as he has learned from his Father, he turns around and shares with us. As we have learned from our Father, as we've learned from that of Jesus, in our life and in our circumstances, we should reciprocate, we should turn that and send that out and share that with others. It talks about the servant master and son father terminology in verse 15 where it says, New King James, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." The servant, master, and son and father terminology describes the believer's relationship to Christ and to the Father quite vividly. But none is quite as profound as when Jesus called his disciples friends, because it speaks of mutuality and love. Mutuality and love. Now, could you imagine his disciples and seeing all that Jesus accomplished and what he was about walking this earth? And then for him to turn around and say, "But I call you my friends." You're going like, "Ooh, what did I do to deserve that?" Well, nothing. But his love for you, he says, "I call you my friends. And I want you to take what I've been doing and what I've been about, because what I've been about has been about my Father sharing and showing and talking to me. And I want you now to do the same thing." So as Jesus said, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father shows me to do. We in our lives here today, we need to be looking at that same verbiage to a point in our lives that we only say what the Father says to us. We all should do what he has showed us to do. Simple, right? No, not always simple. But with his strength, with his grace and his mercy, he gives us many do-overs. He gives us many times to perfect those things that he has asked us to do. And so he is just saying again and again, and I want to reaffirm with you today, that he calls you friend. Because Jesus is Lord and Master, he could call us servants instead. He calls us friends. We should find comfort in that, as well as reassurance that we have been chosen as his friends. Because he is Lord and Master, we owe him our complete obedience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that, where it gets to me sometimes, where you understand that, you know, do you ever think upon that when he says, you've been bought with a price? I've been bought with a price. The life of Jesus. But he came to do that anyway. He came to die for Tim. And so, no, I'm not really my own. I'm indebted to him. But I'm indebted to him, but he does want me to feel like, I think, this is just me speaking, indebted to the point of he's got his thumb on me and he's pressing me down and saying, now I got you right where I want you. And now I'm going to do and guide and you're going to become my puppet. You're going to become whatever I... And it's no, he still gives us that, which is a good thing and a bad thing, free will. But because he loves us, he says here, you can choose this day. You can choose this. In your day in and day out life upon this earth now, every day, guys, you can choose to follow and be more like him, or you can choose and follow and be more like that of the world. It's up to you. But what do you want the people around you to see? The people around you, they see enough of this world, don't they? And they need to see something different. They need to see some kind of a compassion. They need to see some kind of forgiveness. They need to see some kind of love. They need to see some kind of friendship that is there because it's a friend, but yet I'm not going to be your friend because I just want something out of it. Well, I'm going to become your friend so I can borrow this, or I can have that, or I can take this, or I can ask you for that. No, no, no. We become their friend just like that of Jesus. I didn't give him anything other than my allegiance and my life and my surrender to him. All to Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. He didn't force me to give it to him. But we got to remember that we've done that to the point of now we got to live up to that. And it's hard. And I can only do it by him. Because when I need to do it and I want to do it, sometimes I don't want to do it, but then I want to do it. Lord, I'm having this conversation within my head. Oh, I know it would please you better if I do this, but I don't really. And so we have a time of conversation, a time of just meditating. And then he starts bringing back so many wonderful things. So many wonderful things. I pray that everyone here would have or be able to have a relationship with someone here on this earth, because we need one another, right? And we've been coming out of Thanksgiving and love and all this stuff, but God gave us Jesus. Then he gives us a spouse. And hopefully sometimes they're the right ones at the beginning, and sometimes there's some changes that have to be made. I'm not looking at anybody that's had some problems. And, oh, bad you. It's not that at all, please. But it's then you begin to look at your kids. You begin to look at grandkids. I could care less what's going on in the world to a point, because you start looking at all the blessings, all the love that God pours out upon you. And no, not everything is perfect, right? It's not all perfect. But I think it's in those imperfect times that we need to reach down within ourselves and to say, what is something good out of that? And then when the Lord shows you that little bit of good, let that be the yeast that flourishes, that grows. A little leaven, leaven's a lot. Well, if you can get just a little bit of love in you and let that love begin to fester and grow like that of a yeast, pretty soon you've got that love that overcomes the other yuck, and there's more of that in you. But it's a process. It is a process. And I am still working on that, and I'm so glad that God is not done with me yet on that process. But I hope and I believe I can stand before him or speak here, and my time's worth him in conversations, and that I say, Lord, I believe I'm further along than what I was 5 years ago. I want to keep getting better. And he will allow that. There are some things in the scriptures. Friends have been in there. Now, in Exodus 33:11, that's there, but in we might turn there, but in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? This is referring back to some friendships in the Bible, okay? Goes way back into the Old Testament of friends. Abraham was a friend. We can go into that of in Exodus 33:11. We won't stay there or go there a whole lot. We'll just kind of wrap this up a little bit here. But I think the gist of it is, as we've looked at John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That friendship has been a thread in the scriptures from the beginning. But we look at where God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So much more that the people around him that Moses was leading, that they didn't want to hear God. They didn't want to go to see God. They sent him to go, here, you go listen and come back. Because Moses had got such that relationship with him. I don't know. I said I'm not going to turn there. But in Exodus 33:11, it says then, so, and, you know, as we go up to that, we can find that, let's see. Well, it just says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. Then it goes on talking about his servant Joshua and the son Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. But it talks about God had that relationship, and Moses had that relationship with him to where he could go up and speak and hear him. There was a closeness and an identity there. There was a friendship even back then. Moses, face to face, as a man speaks to that of a friend, Moses is that speaking to that of God, and God is speaking to him. God and Moses talked face to face in the tent of meetings, just as friends do. So why did Moses find such favor with God? It wasn't because he was perfect. It's not that he was gifted. It wasn't that Moses was a powerful man. It was because God chose Moses. And in turn, Moses in turn relied completely upon God's wisdom and direction. Friendship with God was a true privilege for Moses. It was out of the reach of the other Hebrews. And as we look at that for us today, it's not out of the reach for us, though. Jesus, here again, calls us disciples, and by the extension of all of his followers, that's us, his friends. He has called you as well as his friend, and will you in turn trust him like what that of Moses did to that of God? God chose Moses. Jesus, he chooses us. He chooses all. For God says, I would desire that none should perish. He would like to choose all of us, right? But there will be some that do that. But we have a relationship, and he has a relationship with us that he wants to choose you, and he has chosen. For you that are here today, receive Jesus and walking through this life, we have learned more and more of that friendship day in and day out. And so like that of Moses, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. But as Jesus said to his disciples, that I have called you friend. But the important part that we've got to watch is that as we obey his commands. So if we want to be the true friend of him and to keep him as our friend, do what? Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. There's no other way. And you'll find as you trust and you obey, just like that song says, there's no other way to trust and obey. But to trust and obey, what is that? It talks about, and to be happy with Jesus, but to trust and obey. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for being our friend, but more importantly, that you have called us friend first. And that, Lord, you continually shower us with your love. Lord, we find it day in and day out in whatever adventure that we might be in. And I pray, Lord, if those are here today or that are listening to this now, Lord, that, Lord, they would sense your love for them. Thank you, Lord, for that love. Thank you, Lord, for the friendship that we have attained. And may we continually, Lord, see these areas in our lives that we need to change, adjust, or get rid of, so that we, Lord, can be closer and closer and closer to you. Lord, your love is insurmountable, Lord. It fills so much of us. Oh, Father. Father, your love came down, and it continually stays with us. As we are into a season, Lord, of the holidays and so much going on, Father, I pray that those around us will sense and see the love of you in us, that we can be a reflection of it, and that people will not see us, but they will see something very special, and that is of you. I thank you, Lord, right now for these wonderful people. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to go with us today and be with us and stay with us throughout this week. Thank you, Lord. I pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.